You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Scotland's Russell Knox gets a breakthrough victory at the WGC HSBC Champions.
It's incredible. I mean, I always hoped it was going to happen, but you're just never sure. I mean, there's so many unbelievable players on all tours around the world, and to win at this stage is a dream come true. Just still can't quite believe it.
The Scotsman finished on 20 under par, two shots clear of Kevin Kisner.
Yeah, it was a great week. You know, I just didn't hold the putts today that I did the first 2 days, so I could never really put any pressure on him. He played solid all day, made a lot of nice putts, and hats off to him. He played great.
Danny Willett secured a share of third place and enhanced his chances of winning the race to Dubai with a stunning 10 under par final round.
It's special, you know, shooting 62 at home with the lads. It's always nice, but obviously in a World Golf Championship on a Sunday, it's that little bit more special. It could be big, like I say, especially with Rory not playing next week.
Stay with us for a full review of the WGC action from China and a look ahead to the next event in the Race to Dubai's final series, the BMW Masters. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by Jamie Spence, who was paying a lot of attention to the golf last week.
Morning, Robert. Yeah, up all night watching the golf.
Actually, a great tournament in the end.
Yeah, I always enjoy the HSBC. Dustin Johnson provided us a lot of ups and downs, but it was Russell Knox's steadiness and his wedge play and putting that got him through in the end.
Good golf course, though, isn't it? There's a bit of a few decisions to be made coming in.
No more so, Robin, than par fives. The 18th there is a great hole. I didn't see many people hit the green in two yesterday, but we had during the week, and it's a great golf course, and Knox was a worthy winner.
It's a funny week for Knox, because when they lost light on Saturday, everyone finished apart from Russell, who chose not to play the last hole.
I was actually surprised the whole group didn't hang around on the last two there, because right. It was so dark, but Knox obviously did the right thing, came back the next day and made a birdie. Let's not forget, he was 7th reserve last weekend. Yeah. Wasn't even in the event, and then his wife went and got him his visa for him to play, otherwise he wouldn't have even been there. So it was fate. We'd have to say it's fate.
Were you impressed with his demeanour as he was, you know, obviously under pressure trying to have that breakthrough win?
Well, playing with Dustin Johnson, who's hitting at least 50 yards past Kisner and Knox, it was quite intimidating. It was a key moment on the 8th hole when Dustin Johnson had a bit of bad luck when he hit the flag, but after that Knox just composed himself, made a couple of really good birdies around the turn as well. And he's just got a wonderful putting stroke. So the rough was really thick and long, and it really suited a player who just could hit the fair, especially with preferred lies. He said he didn't mind what club he went into the greens with.
At one stage in the final round, there was a 5-way tie. So it wasn't as if, you know, Russell was out there for the entire final round.
No, certainly not. And that was around about the turn. A lot happened around there. The 8th hole, that 600-yard par 5. Then the 9th is a really difficult par 4. A lot of players are bogeying it. And then Knox just made a couple of birdies at 10-11. That just gave him a two-shot cushion, and he just kept it going. The other players just tried to push too much and just couldn't reel him in.
How crucial was his birdie at 16?
Yeah, at that stage, it really was. And that's a 280-yard par 4, which really teases you off the tee. And Knox wasn't having any of it. He just knocked it down the fairway. Great pitch shot. Rolled it in because Kisner was inside him there, so he could have closed it to one. As it happens, he had a three-shot lead.
He's got close to winning before on the PGA Tour. He lost in a playoff at the Honda. In Palm Beach Gardens, it's a fantastic golf course. So maybe he's no stranger to playing big events and playing them well.
Well, he just missed out on the Tour Championships in the FedEx Series last year. Knox is 31 on the list, so he was unlucky not to get in that. He's got a progressive profile. He's been playing the PGA Tour now for about 5 years, something like that. So he's just gradually been on the up. And yeah, he deserves his victory, doesn't he?
He does. And now has he... The thing is, when you get the big win like this, it's a sort of under major. Major minus is what the WGCs are. They're almost, because a lot of the good players are there. Is he going to view this as he's made it and sort of come off the throttle again, or is this the springboard for him?
Well, that's the question that every player has to overcome, isn't it? Because he has achieved his goal. He said he just fancied he was going to win a big one sometime in his career. Well, he's done that. I don't think he's going to go away, but he's not the longest of players. He relies on his accuracy, his great putting stroke. So I think there's certain courses that will suit him and certain ones that won't.
So would he look to somebody like Jim Furyk as to measure his game up against somebody like the way he plays distance-wise and think, well, that's what's possible?
No doubt about it. You just look in the past. My mind back, he's not Corey Pavin by any stretch of the imagination. But there's certain courses that suit shorter hitters and certain ones that suit the long ones. And yeah. This, it was just the rough was really up this week, and it suited the guy who could play the ball off the fairway. They're playing placing as well. And that really helps when you're going to the green with 5 irons and 4 irons. You need a good lie.
You certainly do. Well, let's hear from the winner, the delighted Scot, Russell Knox.
It's incredible. I mean, I always hoped it was going to happen, but you're just never sure. I mean, there's so many unbelievable players on all tours around the world, and to win at this stage is a dream come true. Just still can't quite believe it. I mean, I owe all to my coach, Mike Fleming. He passed away a couple years ago, and this is for him for sure.
Did you think this day would come, as soon as this perhaps?
Yeah, I always knew it was going to come, to be honest. Deep down in my bones, I felt I was capable of winning. I thought it was maybe going to be another year, but I'm glad it happened now.
Well, it vindicates your decision as well, and come back and have a birdie first thing this morning, I guess, when nobody else was around.
Yeah, I think that was important for me. I don't think I would have birdied it playing it in the dark, so it was a wise choice.
Did it kind of settle you down as well, knowing that that was in the can, that you're already joint leader and you're already prepared prior to the final round itself?
I think so. I mean, I normally sleep unbelievably well, but last night I didn't sleep that good because I hadn't finished my round yet. So when I came back and made a nice birdie, it really did settle me down. I wasn't really nervous starting my fourth round at all.
And even on the finish there, were you nervous at all? Because you built up a nice, solid lead and you were involved throughout that day.
I was terrified. I mean, winning at any level is the hardest thing you could do. And especially because I've never won a big one like this. And it was tough. But I just kept holing putts, and golf is so much easier when that happens.
It's quite a story, isn't it, to consider that you were down on that reserve list, last entrant effectively, had all the visa problems, had so many people to thank. It's amazing.
I think it was JB Holmes that withdrew, so I'll be sending him a nice gift, that's for sure. So, it's funny. I mean, everything happens for a reason, and I guess it was my time.
Really good to hear his words there, and very honest appraisal from Russell Knox. It's his first European Tour victory, because it counts on both sides of the water. It's his first PGA Tour victory. He's the first Scot to win a WGC event, and he's the first player to win a WGC event on their debut appearance since Jeff Maggot at the very first WGC event in 1999, which is now the WGC Cadillac Match Play. And he could move in for the top 30 in official world golf rankings from 85th, Jamie, and that perhaps is the greatest prize of all.
Well, yeah, you get into that top 50, Rob. You get into all the majors, more WGCs, and let's not forget, he's getting into the Masters. That's the biggest carrot for Russell Knox. You've got to think that's a dream for him.
Yeah, we've sort of roughly worked that out because the latest rankings haven't been released yet because there's an overrun at the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi. They've had horrendous rain there. So when that's finished, then they'll be able to figure out where everyone stands. But definitely inside the top 50 for Russell Knox. So a fantastic week. Now let's hear from the runner-up, Kevin Kisner.
Yeah, it was a great week. You know, I just didn't hole the putts today that I did the first 2 days. So I could never really put any pressure on him. He played solid all day, made a lot of nice putts. And hats off to him. He played great.
When you consider the back problems and the way that you've come into this event, this is a stunning finish, isn't it?
Stunning, yeah. I mean, way beyond any expectations. And I just was hoping to finish 72 holes, let alone have a chance to win. So I'm proud of myself, the way I fought and battled through it, and looking forward to some time off.
You're not getting hacked off by that second place finish tag?
No. What is that, four this year? That's all right. I'll keep finishing second. I'll keep giving myself a shot, and I'll win one of them.
He sure will. I think Kevin Kisner is he's going to be a late developer, a really, really good-looking player. Thanks to Nick Dye once again for getting the top interviews for the Race to Dubai show. It was another second-place finish, as you heard there, for the man who's been beaten in three playoffs this season in 2015. It's all right finishing second, Jamie, but to lose three playoffs and finish second, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, it is. He put himself in a great position going to the weekend. He was leading by two, but his putter was incredible for the first 2 days, 24 putts both days. Tough to keep that going, Rob. And again, he's not the longest, so he's not going to reach all. He couldn't reach the par fives in two, Kisner. So he was under pressure with his short game, and just great finish to finish second, but hard to keep that momentum really.
And Ross Fisher finished tied third. A good week for the Englishman.
Yeah, obviously delighted. Shame to come up a little bit shy, but I gave it a good go, and it's just nice to be in the mix in such a big tournament. You know, I've missed the buzz, the adrenaline. You know, that's what we live to play this game for. We want to be in the mix. I knew this course suited my game, so it's nice to find some form going into obviously next week, where I lost in the playoff there last year. So it bodes well for the next 2 weeks.
Well, it does. And Ross Fisher is 1.8 million points behind Rory McIlroy. Big points up for grabs the last 2 weeks. Still in it, technically.
Mathematically. It's a big ask, though, Rob. I mean, he's played well in some big events. Runner-up in the Ned Bank as well at the start of the season. A lot of points there. So when he's on, Ross Fisher, he's capable of producing some quality performances.
And he was tied with Danny Willett for third. Now, Danny shot a stunning final round of 62, 10 under par, and he's now just 75,000 points behind Rory McIlroy in the Race to Dubai.
It's special, shooting 62 at home with the lads. It's always nice, but obviously in a World Golf Championship on a Sunday, when it means something a bit more. Obviously, it's that little bit more special.
Only time will tell, I'm sure, but how significant is this in the race to Dubai?
It could be big, especially with Rory not playing next week, and we could clamber a few more points on him.
How good can he be, Danny Willett?
Well, he's progressing really well, isn't he? I'd say, again, he won the Nedbank, which gave him a great start this season. He's won the Swiss European Masters as well. Played well in the Open, so he's had a fantastic season. So, yeah, he's just behind Rory now, and he'll be desperate to get ahead of Rory. Be nice to have a few thousand points ahead of Rory, and then Rory's got to beat you in Dubai.
Yeah, I think from working it out, roughly top 25 for him at the BMW gets him past Rory, but that wouldn't be enough for Danny. He needs a big chunky finish to get a lead on McIlroy, you would think.
You never know how someone reacts. I mean, he's right in the mix here this week, Sunday, put everything into it. So might have taken a lot out of him, but I'd expect him to finish in the top 25.
Absolutely back him for that. And he's a guy that, you know, when he's up and he's revved up, that's when he plays well. And
yeah, he's got a lot of nervous energy.
He's going to have a stack of that at the BMW.
Definitely.
At Lake Mallorin, absolutely. Well, Rory McIlroy was just outside the top 10. The Race to Dubai leader battled through a bout of food poisoning to tie 11th with a final round of 66.
You know, I feel like I played well enough to win this week. I just didn't hold enough putts, and that's sort of been the story of my season, well, at least for the last couple of months anyway. So, but it's getting better. I feel like every tournament I play, I'm getting a little bit better, and hopefully I can continue in that trend into Dubai and play well again. You know, I always enjoy it there. I love the golf course, and you know, I've done well there before, so just go there and try and get the win, and hopefully that'll be enough.
You'll no doubt have seen that leaderboard and seen a certain Danny Willett shooting a 62.
Yeah.
You looking over your shoulder?
Not really. I mean, it doesn't, you know, he's playing next week and I'm not, so, you know, no matter what happened today, you know, he has a good chance to maybe overtake me next week. So I'm just the mindset that I need to go to Dubai and win, and that's all I can do.
And that's probably the best mindset of all, yeah. Let's have, before we talk about the duel between the two of them, and it's more than a duel, there's maybe a dozen players, 15 maybe, involved in this shake-up in the last two tournaments. Let's first concentrate on the 10 players that were the best 10 at the HSBC.
Well, joint seventh, Rob, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Lee Hao Tong, the local player, just played fantastic over the weekend. Matthew Fitzpatrick, the ever-impressive Matthew Fitzpatrick. And then tied fifth, Dustin Johnson and Brandon Grace. In third was Danny Willett and Ross Fisher, runner-up Kevin Kisner, and the champion Russell Knox.
And the top 10 in the Race to Dubai, Jamie?
Yeah, in 10th place is Anne. 9th, Kiridek Afim-Barnrat. Number 8 is Victor Dubuisson. In 7th is Bernd Wiesberger. Brandon Grace at 6. Justin Rose coming back into action this week at 5. Louis Oosthuizen at 4. Shane Lowry, poor week for Shane Lowry, 68th there in the HSBC. He's in 3rd. Danny Willett in 2nd and Rory McIlroy number 1.
Well, Rory McIlroy, assess his year, because it's kind of hard to... He lost that momentum with the injury in the middle of the season. It's been a bit stop-start for him.
Well, we say that, but he won Dubai and he won the match play early in the season. He's going into the Masters. We're all expecting to have that career Grand Slam. Who would have thought after that week he'd end up being number 3 in the world come the end of the year. It's incredible what the other players have done. Mm. And of course, Rory's injury in the middle of the season hasn't helped at all. I think he was really, really disappointed this week. I think he came in, having played Turkey, I think he really fancied HSBC, got that food poisoning, and he just wasn't quite the Rory we're used to.
He's not quite having the run, is he?
No,
you know, health-wise and the rest of it, it's not going his way. But will it turn around at the season closer, do you think?
Well, I as we said, we expect Danny Willett to be ahead of Rory, and there's lots of others behind, by the way. So many points to be played for, 8 million each week.
Yeah.
We're not sure who's going to be in front, to be honest with you. But, it's a real proper race here, going into the final lap. And
how far back? I mean, Ross Fisher's 15th, technically.
Yeah, I don't think you can look outside the top 10, personally.
Right, okay.
I mean, they can't, you know, it's a tough ask to ask someone to win both these.
Yeah, sure. But sometimes, you know, it's happening in the FedEx, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. Yeah, it certainly could happen.
And for one final line from the Sheshan International Golf Club, Katie Kim recorded the 45th hole-in-one of the European Tour season. I reckon that's an amazing amount of hole-in-ones.
It's a lot of hole-in-ones.
45?
Yeah, and they're not 130-yard par threes we're talking about, are they?
No, they certainly are not. I wonder if you got a nice prize for that. Are you aware of that?
I think there was a car.
Was there?
Yes.
A little motor car.
A long drive home, mine, but...
Your left-hand drive?
Yes.
No good to us. Now, the fancy Race to Dubai tips. Dan Roebuck, in my absence, went for Ricky Fowler, tied 17th. Dustin Johnson tied 5th. You counted him, Jamie, with Rory McIlroy. He's 11th and Lee Westwood 51st. So, Dustin Johnson, did you really?
Pathetic tipping.
Mind
you, the winner wasn't even in the field when we did that. So I would definitely have gone for Russell Knox.
Yeah, but the tip to all our listeners is the Race to Dubai show is not a fast track to getting rich quick.
No.
No, not with the quality of our tipping. However, we do try. We're very trying. Now, of the 20,000 plus teams in the Fantasy Race to Dubai, it was Peter Dawson who earned the most points last week. His team had Danny Willett as the star player, alongside Fisher, Grace, Fitzpatrick, McElroy and Jaidee, who all finished inside the top 15 in China. And with 2 weeks left, Gareth Clayton remains top of the overall standings, but there are plenty of teams still snapping at his heels for the main prize. Check in with EuropeanTour.com from Tuesday for this week's Fantasy 5 to watch and see who the stats guru tips at this week's BMW Masters. And to pick your fantasy team, go to EuropeanTour.com/myEuropeanTour. Now, in other news, Portugal's Ricardo Gouveia won the NBO Golf Classic Grand Final on the Challenge Tour to finish top of the Road to Oman rankings with the highest total earnings for a season in European Challenge Tour history. His final round of 65 was the lowest of the week and helped him to a one-shot victory over Denmark's Joachim B. Hansen, or JB Hansen for short, who'd led for the first three rounds. The top 15 in the European Challenge Tour's Road to Oman all get a full European card for next year. So the top 15 are these. Ricardo Gouveia, number one. Number two, Sebastian Gross. Number three, Borja Virto Astudillo. It's a beautiful name, that. Nacho Elvira in fourth. JB Hansen in five. Bjorn Åkesson in six. Gary Boyd, seventh. Rhys Davis, eight. Thomas Linhard, ninth. Jens Fabring is 10th, Jeff Winter 11, Andrew MacArthur 12, Callum Shinquin 13, Brandon Stone 14, and the last man to get his ticket for the tour, Jamie McCleary from Scotland. It's a hard, hard fought card that when you play all season on the Challenge Tour, but my goodness, Jamie, at the end of it, it's worth it.
Those 15 players are going to get in most tournaments next year. Well done to all of them. Nine different nationalities. That's the thing that comes out for me, Rob. That's what it's all about. Giving everybody a chance. They've got a great opportunity now on the European Tour. We welcome back Rhys Davis, a former winner on the European Tour. Long time for him to come back, really, Rhys. It's been too long. Gary Boyd, again, another name. I followed Jens Fabring in the Denmark, Made in Denmark tournament. He looks a good player as well. So, yeah, congratulations to all of them. And Ricardo Gouveia, especially from Portugal. Great to have another Portuguese out there with Ricardo Santos.
Definitely. Absolutely, definitely. So that's the Challenge Tour, and it'll be exciting. Looking forward to the next season on the European Tour. Now, across the pond, Phil Mickelson has split from his swing coach, Butch Harmon, after 8 years. Mickelson won two of his five majors with Butch as coach, but he's winless in the last two seasons. And I texted Butch, and they're great. There's no problem between the people. They're still great friends, just that Phil wanted to hear something different.
Yeah, and he flew out to see Butch especially. So they've got a great relationship. Mind you, Butch Harmon still coaches Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker as well, among others.
So, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. And Bernard Langer extended his remarkable record as a senior golfer by finishing runner-up in the Charles Schwab Cup Championship to top the money list on the US Champions Tour for the fourth successive year. He is quite incredible, Bernard Langer. Is he the pro's pro of all time?
He's got to be, hasn't he? Now, what's he going to do about his putting, Robert? That's the interesting one.
Even with the long putter, even with the anchor putter, it doesn't look magnificent. So I'm not sure the new style he's going to have in the new year.
I think he'll go down the Kuchar route. I think that right arm will be clamped
Which is a method he's the first guy I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
Actually, you and Murray many years ago did that.
Yeah.
Gary Cullen did that.
Lots of people are using it. I think Langer will go back to that.
And we'll see how he gets on. But what a player Bernard Langer is. Now on to this week's event, the third stage of the final series, the BMW Masters from Lake Mallorin. It's in Shanghai, so quite an easy effort for the players. They go to Shanghai and stay there for 2 weeks, different course, of course. An interesting layout, Jamie.
Yeah, another massively long 7,500-yard long golf course.
Which you're hating with every breath.
No, that's how it is these days. Marcel Seam in the playoff last year chipped in to win, and as it happens, he's first reserve.
Yeah, because you don't defend.
No, you don't defend. So he's the next cab on the rank. He's at 67th in the race to Dubai, so he'll be desperate to get a game.
God, you absolutely want to play. Oh, my goodness me. He'll be just watching all the news feeds and see if anyone gets injured or ill. But great last hole.
Fantastic.
Last hole par four. I mean, it's a really smelly hole. Lake Mallorin.
Yeah, dogleg right to left.
Yeah.
Long hole and a narrow green as well. And they stick the flag right in the back corner. There's a few different areas of this green. They put the flag on. Really tough hole to finish. Should be as well, last holes.
Absolutely. And the top 60 bubble this week is what it's all about, because that's where the pressure is. We've had the pressure of people trying to keep their cards and stay in the 110 a couple of weeks ago. Now we've got to the last event where players can get into the top 60.
Yeah, going back to Benjamin Herbert, he's 66th on the race to Dubai. He's not too far behind the man on the bubble, which is Marcus Fraser. So there's a big opportunity for half a dozen players here to get to Dubai, and then you never know. So lots of players there, lots to play for still, and lots of things like getting into the Open next year, all sorts of exemptions and world rankings and all sorts of stuff.
And Emiliano Grillo is in 59th, and he's had a great month or so, because he won the last event of the Web.com Finals, and then he got his card proper on the PGA Tour, and then he won his opening event as a rookie player. thefries.com. So he's done and dusted and set in America. Still, he's come across to try and qualify for the race to Dubai. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He can play the DP World Final, but he's got to stay inside the top 60. He's under pressure in spot number 59.
That's right. So he's got a half a dozen players behind him chasing him down. He's a quality player, Grillo. Watched him early in the year a few times. Hits the ball magnificently. No surprise to me that he's done what he's done, and good that he's coming back. He shows a commitment to the European Tour as well.
How important is making the top 60 to the players on the European Tour to get to Dubai?
It's huge. We used to have the Volvo Masters at Valderrama. If you made that, you knew you had a good year. You knew you had a great year, and it was a bit of extra bonus for you as well. The money available here now, I mean, it's way beyond that. So all the players' start of the year, they know they've had a good year if they get to Dubai.
Well, let's get a perspective on the golf course at Lake Mallorin from Danny Willett, who played so well last week.
Good golf course, strong golf course. You hit the ball a long way. Obviously, you know, you got it typical Chinese kind of fashion. A lot of the guys, you know, the American designers, very segregated greens. You got it into areas and then hold some nice putts. So not quite the same setup as this week, but, you know, you get some good golf shots, you can make a score.
And given the attention that is bound to be on you, I mean, it has been for weeks now, but knowing that you're knocking on the door and getting closer to Rory, will that affect you and your approach and your determination?
I've been determined all year, you know, ever since we got to one straight off the bat the first week out. It was, you know, it was like, well, this would be pretty good to obviously stay up there all year. And it's nice that we didn't, you know, just kind of back off after a big win at the Nedbank. We kept pressing, kept working hard, and, you know, we've able to post some really good numbers around the world.
Danny Willett in with a big chance at the BMW to just put the hammer down on Rory McIlroy. I say it again.
Oh, no doubt about it. The more points he can gain, you want to be in front going into Dubai, but as you say, you could get a 50, 60,000 point advantage over Rory, possibly more. If you finish in the top three or four here, you'd have a few hundred.
So the thing is, if he finishes right on, let's just say he makes the gap up and they're pretty even, there's a lot of people with the win in that last event that can go flying past them.
Well, we looked at the top 10, didn't we? If anybody in the top 10 who wins or maybe gets a second place on his own, there's so many points available. Suddenly, for the first time really in this race to Dubai, you're going to have a lot of people. We're not quite sure who's going to win.
It'd be a very, very interesting week, first of all, at Lake Mallorin at the BMW Masters. And then we will press on to find the top dog on the European Tour in Dubai the week after that. So, tips-wise, Jamie, with your huge success from last week, once again, I'll give you two picks.
Ah, two. You normally have three, Robert, I understand.
Well, I have one more than the guy opposite me, so I'll give you two.
Obviously. Well, yeah. I'm sort of looking down near the top of the list here with Stenson and Garcia. Very quiet weeks for them last week, but they still finished 11th. Patrick Reed, Brandon Grace. I'm going to go with Patrick Reed.
And I was going to go with Patrick Reed.
Well, you can't.
Our
new European Tour member. I'm going to go with Patrick Reed. I thought he played well last week. Didn't get a lot going for him. And I'm toy between Stenson and Grace. I'll go with Grace. So Reed and Grace for me.
You didn't go for Danny Willett?
He had such a good week last week. I think he'll still finish top 10, but no, those two for me.
Okay. I'm going to go for
Danny Willett, obviously.
No. Do I have to accept who you suggest, or can I have my own picks?
You can have your own picks.
My own picks look like this and sound like this. I'm going to go for Emiliano Grillo.
Very good.
Yep. And I'm going to have another one in Bernd Wiesberger.
Oh, I like Bernd Wiesberger.
Yeah, I'm going to have Bernd Wiesberger and Emiliano Grillo versus your
Patrick Reed and Brandon Grace.
Be good having Patrick Reed on tour next year, won't it?
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's what it's all about, being a world player. That's what you do if you join the European Tour. You play all over the world. Get that passport ready. But get the big fat one. The thin one's no good. It runs out of stamps. That's all for now. Next week, we'll analyse the BMW Masters and preview the big climax of the Race to Dubai's final series, the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's picked
Patrick Reed and Brandon Grace.
And myself, Robert Lee, has gone with Emiliano Grillo and Bernd Wiesberger. It's goodbye.